Have a seat. As we lead up to Easter, we're in the series that I'm calling 50 Days with Paul, in which we're looking at different selections from all of Paul's letters that we find in the New Testament. And we've focused in so far on what Paul has to say about the person of Jesus. Who was Jesus, and how do we understand who he was? Now, Paul was a master at interpreting Jesus and pointing to the different characteristics of Jesus that help us understand the story of Jesus. And that's really where we focus so far in the series. We've talked about the hope that Jesus provides. We've talked about Jesus as Lord, as a servant, the hope for eternity. Those things have been our focus. But Paul was not just concerned about what we believe. Paul was also concerned about the way that we live. And we see that at work in his letters really clearly, because in many of his letters, we have a long section that opens the book, sometimes half the letter, sometimes even more than that, that lays out, these are things that you need to believe. These are the core of the faith, and this is what I want to teach you about that. But then in the next section, Paul takes all of that and says, because you believe this, you should live like this. And today I want us to look at one of those passages that focuses in more about how we live than just what we believe. So what are the implications of believing Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Messiah, Jesus is the Son of God? We're going to talk about that. Now, one of the principles that we see at work in the teaching that we find today that I want us to remember as we go through this lesson is who we follow affects who we become, okay? I think that's pretty clear to most of us. Who we follow affects who we become. And that's true in lots of different areas of life, right? So for me in ministry, when I started ministry, I had a couple of mentors that really built into me and helped me learn. And the way I make a hospital call today is affected by what they taught me 30-some years ago. The way I plan for sermon series is affected by what they taught me 30-some years ago, right? So what I followed, the person I followed, affected the person that I became. That's in true and important ways and some small ways too, right? So between my junior and senior years of high school, I worked for a company that cleaned office buildings. And so I did that every night after those offices closed. And the lady that I worked for, a friend of mine and I worked for her together, she taught us how to clean an office. And she had a very clear plan for how to do that. It was very carefully done. And even now, if I go to clean something, some of the things that she taught me come to mind. Small thing, but it's still there. It's amazing how that works. I remember as a kid, you know, when we would gather to play baseball or softball, you know, it was amazing how our batting stances looked like our favorite players from the Atlanta Braves, right? I mean, we just sort of, who we follow affects who we become. And that might be true for you in dishes that you cook and the way you cook them because maybe somebody taught you to do that. Or the way you teach, maybe you're a teacher and mentors taught you how to do certain things. Could be true in farming, small business, lots of ways who we follow affects who we become. And that is true spiritually as well. Who we follow affects who we become. And that's at work in the passage that I want us to look at today that we find in Galatians 5. Now we'll get there in a few minutes, but this letter of Paul is slightly different than some other letters in that Galatians is written to a group of churches in the area called Galatia. It was a province, so it's not just like, okay, to the church in Ephesus, a city, a couple letters to the church in Corinth, one letter to the church in Philippi, so to a specific one group of people. This letter is written to a group of churches in a group of cities in what we would call central Turkey. Now, Paul had been there on his first journey. That was with Barnabas. He traveled from Antioch, which is right at the northeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea, across Turkey, founded these churches, just going in and preaching in towns and telling the message of Jesus. And people were drawn to that story, and they became followers of Jesus. Then Paul and Barnabas go back. And as they go back, they begin to get word from some of these churches that something is up. So when they get back to Antioch, Paul dashes off a letter to them because there's false teaching going on there. He sends that letter as he's leaving to go to Jerusalem to deal with the same false teaching because it's infecting several areas. But what he's saying is, listen, what you're hearing from these false teachers is not the gospel of Jesus. It's something else. And it's affecting what you believe, but it's also affecting the people that you're becoming, because it was creating all kinds of discord within those churches. So he's dealing with the you need to believe the right thing, but also you need to be the right people. And famously, we find some passages that help us understand that in Galatians chapter 5. We'll get to the one that's the most famous at the end of this passage. But Paul begins by creating a contrast between two things: living for the Spirit and living for the flesh. Listen to what he has to say. Paul says, this is Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So here's the contrast. The Christian life is often compared to a journey. So this word walk is pretty common when we see this in the New Testament. This journey of faith, walk according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now what Paul is saying is, listen, you're followers of Jesus. He's laid out what that means and how you can become a follower of Jesus. He develops some themes that start here in Galatians, are expanded greatly in the book of Romans. It's a great place to see those seeds of thought at work. Because you follow Jesus, God's Spirit is at work in you. Now, Jesus promised in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, that when he was gone, God's Spirit would fill his people. The Holy Spirit, or as we see in John, the Comforter or the Advocate. That's all words for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Paul is picking that up and saying, when you're walking this walk, when you're walking through the Christian life, allow the Spirit to lead you. And that's in contrast with gratifying the desires of the flesh. Now, when we hear that, it's sort of easy for us to think Paul is saying, okay, everything spiritual, everything that goes on inside of, that's good stuff. Okay, the spiritual's good, and because he's talking about flesh, then the physical, our bodies then, must be bad. But that is not what Paul is saying. We have to remember that all the way back in the Old Testament, very beginning, the stories of Genesis, God created us with physical bodies and said it is very good. When Paul uses this term flesh, and I alluded to this last week, he's saying something more than just physical body. He's saying the parts of us that have chosen to sin and are therefore corrupted and are headed for death. Okay, the part of each one of us has made the decision to sin. It's our decision. We've done that. We've messed up. The consequences for that, that was death ultimately, but in this life is also the fact that we mess up relationships, our own reputations, all these things that are causing problems for us. It is destructive. So he's talking about the destructive power of sin at work in us versus the life of the Spirit. And how does that work itself out? He continues in verse 17. He says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. Okay, back and forth, the contrast. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, most of us, at one time or another, and probably many times, have felt just what Paul's talking about here. We have felt this conflict within us. It wasn't so much a matter of knowing what was right and wrong. I mean, we may be in a situation where we know this is right and this is wrong, period. But the conflict is, which one am I going to do? Because even though I know what is right and I know what would please God, this other thing over here would please me. It would make me happy in this moment. And we have felt that battle within us, not just between what's physical and spiritual, but between the sense that we are sinful people. And sometimes it is hard to avoid sin. And Paul is saying it's present in every single one of us. And part of being a Christian is dealing with that conflict, that draw toward sin. And Paul says, if you look at this contrast, it is really clear in our lives what it looks like. We read that in verse 19. the acts of the flesh. Now, again, let's go back to some of these things we're going to read here are not just things we do with our bodies, so it's not just spiritual versus physical, but it's this brokenness, this sinfulness that has become part of who we are that results in this list of things. Here it is. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, as I look down that list, there's a couple things I notice. First is there are things that are very physical and things that go on in our minds, right? Like jealousy and hatred. The second thing I notice is if Paul had to tell these churches that some of these things were wrong, they were messed up churches, folks, okay? I mean, this is a crazy list of stuff that Paul is dealing with. I mean, some of them we might call bad sins, and some of them we might call minor sins. Now, usually that has to do with the sins I don't commit versus the ones I do commit, right? But this is a pretty serious list of stuff. I mean, we see some things in that list that are powerfully destructive of people and relationships and the church. And my guess is Paul doesn't list them randomly. My guess is that Paul saw some of these things going on in these churches and recognized we cannot be church and do this stuff. This is not consistent with walking with the Spirit of God. This is everybody's just sort of giving in to what's easy to do and what they feel like doing. And so he says, not this life. Not this life of giving in to our sinfulness, our brokenness, our headed toward deathness, okay? But let's think about a different list. And this is the one that's probably most well known from Galatians. Paul says this in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, sometimes translated patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Paul says, if we are people who follow Jesus, who promised His Spirit to us, if we're those people, these are the things that are going to be evident in our life. Let's go back to our principle. Who we follow affects who we become. And Paul is saying, if you follow Jesus and allow His Spirit to be at work in this journey of faith that we're all on, those things that he's just listed, those virtues, will be the result. That's where it works out. We might say it this way. Following Jesus changes the way that we live. It's got to. Because Paul's showing us, listen, you're going to go one way or the other. And you're going to spend your life just pursuing all this brokenness and sinfulness because it feels good in the moment, or you're going to allow the Spirit to be at work in your life. So following Jesus is going to change the way that you live. Who we follow affects who we become. Now, here's what's interesting with this list. Paul does not say, rid your lives of sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. And he doesn't say, it's up to you to get these things in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. What he says is, here are the works of the flesh. Here are the fruit of the Spirit. It's as though Paul is telling us something that we all already know. We are not really good at changing ourselves. Most of us know that, right? I mean, most of us know I am not good about bringing change in my life and making myself a better person. If it is all up to me and the strength of my own personal will, I'm not really good at that.
Remember those resolutions we all made 2.5 months ago that we forgot by now? Some of that's evidence of that. Paul actually said this about himself. He wasn't just pointing the finger. We go back to Romans chapter 7. Paul says this beginning in verse 18. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Now, those two words, sinful nature, actually are translated from Greek. It's the same word we find over in Galatians that we just read. It's the word flesh. Okay? That is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. If I do not do what I want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now we're talking about the Apostle Paul writing about himself, saying, you know what? The stuff I know I should do, I keep failing to do it. And the stuff I know is wrong, I keep doing that. He could look at himself and see the same dynamic that we see at work in us, that we fail to make ourselves better people. So over here in Galatians, what Paul says is, who you follow affects who you become. It is not just about me striving to be a better person. Now, if you read through Paul's letters, and certainly if you read through the whole New Testament, you'll find authors saying, strive for these things. We have personal responsibility in this, so I'm not giving that up. I'm just saying in this passage, Paul is saying it's the fruit of the Spirit that produces these things. Here is the evidence of God's Spirit at work in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience. Think about it this way. You know, I really like in the fall to have a nice, fresh apple, right? There's hardly anything better than that as far as food goes, a good apple in the fall. And I could want apples to grow in my yard. That'd be cool. And I could go out in my yard and say, yard, produce apples. In fact, I could do that every day for a year, and you know how many apples I would have, right? But if I buy the right kind of tree, one that's going to grow in this region and produces apples, and dig a nice big hole, put some good stuff in that hole, and plant that tree, and water it, and fertilize it, and support it, and spray it when it's necessary, I got a real good chance of having some apples. Why? Because I've created the right environment to produce the fruit. And that's what Paul's trying to teach us here. We've got to create the right environment for the Spirit to produce that fruit within us. And so our lives should be at least in part about pursuing the Spirit of God. It goes back to where he starts in verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And if you do, you're creating the environment for these things to be produced in you. It's up to you to make that. We have a decision to make. Am I going to allow God's Spirit to lead me and guide me? Am I going to pursue God's Spirit on a daily basis? And it's one of those things we have to decide this every day. It is not, hey, I think I'm going to let God's Spirit be at work in me. Okay, now that's done, I can move on to whatever's next. It's one of those things that we have to decide day by day, week by week, to allow God's Spirit to lead us to walk according to the Spirit. And then the Spirit produces this fruit in us. Following Jesus changes the way that we live because we're following the one that produces this fruit. Now, here's the one thing that we need to note before we finish up today. Paul writes this letter, not just to whoever might read it, okay? He's got a specific audience in mind. He's writing it to these churches in Galatia. He's not just writing to random individuals that might read this letter. He's writing to churches, to groups of people who are attempting to follow Jesus. But because they've been drawn away from the true gospel, they are at war with one another. Part of what Paul is dealing with is the discord. And if you read through this book, you find there's a lot going on. Some of it's personal, some of it's political, all kinds of things that are tearing these churches apart. And Paul is saying, listen, if you want to be not only people who walk by the Spirit, but if you want to be the church, you've got to allow the Spirit of God to be at work in you to produce this fruit, and then you can be the church. And so to Christians 2,000 years later, who are trying to be the church, the message is still the same. Walk by the Spirit, and the Spirit will produce in you as individuals and in us as the church this fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, these things that are all part of life with God. But we have to make that decision, because who we follow affects who we become. Let's pray together. Now, we know that we can't just create all this stuff within us, because we're not very good at it. So we pray that your Spirit would be at work in us. For some of us today, what we can say is, God, lead us by your Spirit. For others, we can say, God, I'm following you, but help me to grow deeper in a relationship with Jesus that would allow your Spirit to be at work. Wherever we are in this journey, God, help us to grow in relationship with the Spirit so that you can produce this fruit in our lives. God, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.